Oregon is one of the few states with a two-sided flag, and the beaver is on the backside. Beavers can do wondrous things in the landscape with their dam building and marsh making. And there's a perception that beavers could be a weapon against global warming. That's the story told in the film Beaver Believers, coming to the Siskiyou Film Fest Sunday at the Grants Pass Performing Arts Center. A couple of guests in the studio here. Jacob Shockey is program manager and wildlife biologist with the Beaver Coalition. Jacob, welcome. We have Allie Gustafson with us as well. She's a community organizer for the Klamath Siskiyou Wildlands Center, which puts on the Siskiyou Film Fest. Allie, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Jeff, for having us.
And by phone, we have Sarah Konigsberg, who's the owner and operator of Tensegrity Productions, which produced Beaver Believers. Hi, Sarah.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you all here. So, Sarah, the tagline for the film is five scientists and a sassy, spicy hairdresser tackling climate change one stick at a time. Can you unfurl that a bit for us?
Sure thing. One of the things that I always try to do with my work is find characters who are relatable to the general public, right? We're not all PhD scientists, so thinking that that's what you need to make a difference can really make it seem far away. But I found this incredible woman, Sherry Tippy, based out of Denver, who's just that. She's a sassy, spicy hairdresser. She loves animals. And 20 years ago, she realized that beavers were being killed for pointless reasons when instead she could live trap and relocate them where they could do ecological good. And she's just such a fantastic example of normal people seeing something that they can do to make the world better and saying, all right, I'm going to do that. So she really provides this fantastic backbone narrative to the film.
Now, as you mentioned, she's an animal lover, but she admits in the trailer for Beaver Believers that that she is not an outdoorsy person.
Right. So it's not like you even have to love getting muddy and dirty or camping. You don't have to be a backpacker. You don't have to be a mountain climber. You can just recognize we need intact ecological communities. We need clean water. We need healthy ecosystems. We need biodiversity. Even if you then like to come home, and as she says in the film, she likes her HBO and she likes her toilet that flushes. So she can still come home and be cozy in her house, but still get out there and recognize the value of a really robust ecosystem.
So how critical is the beaver to a robust ecosystem, Jacob?
You know, we forget, in science we have this term shifting baseline, right? And we forget, I think, what streams used to look like, or we never fully realized. One thing to remember, we think of this region as the gold rush region. Before they came for gold, they came for beaver. And the beaver was the original currency of the land.
For pelts, for coats, for hats, all that stuff.
The Abe Lincoln hat, right?
Right, that's
it was
a beaver
felted
hat.
Into it, yep. So the first white dude in this area, Peter Skinogden, came in for beaver. His mandate from the Hudson Bay Company was to create a fur desert such that the American trappers moving up the coast would come to this area, nothing for them here, and move on. And you read the old journals, and it's sequential beaver ponds, necklaces of marshlands. We didn't have the free-flowing trout creek that we imagine now. So it's really kind of slowing down the water and slowing down our thought process around where these animals have a place in our ecosystem.
How little of the beaver's historic range do they occupy now?
They occupy much of their historic range, but it's thready. Mm-hmm. They have trouble getting themselves into conflict with humans. They like to plug culverts. A culvert is like a hole in a perfectly good
right.
dam, and you plug that up and things flood. They flood areas to avoid predation. They mostly get eaten by cougars, and so that
habit. So if they pick a nice marshy land that the cougar doesn't want to get through, they've protected themselves.
Yeah, how do you keep the big kitties away, right? but that conflicts with people. Across the landscape, the other annoying thing they seem to do is cut down trees. There's solutions to both of those things, mm-hmm. and part of the movement that's swelling up is trying to arm people with solutions so that they can live with beaver in their areas.
You were talking about the trout stream a moment ago, and I think that is a perception that we tend to carry with us, that we're supposed to have, you know, these here are the banks, here's the stream, but in beaver land, it's a lot more messy than that, isn't it?
It's way more messy. Yep, it's not your fly fishing catalog stream. And the thing to remember is those stories that we hear from old timers of fishing with pitchforks because the thick, you know, fish were so thick, or mm-hmm. you couldn't run a horse across the stream because they would be stepping on salmon. That took place in the context of a necklace of beaver ponds in every one of our tributaries in this complex, messy habitat. So,
Jacob Shockey is with the Beaver Coalition. He's program manager and wildlife biologist. We also have with us Ellie Gustafson from the Klamath Siskiyou Wildlands Center, putting on the Siskiyou Film Fest at Grants Pass Performing Arts Center on Sunday, with the film starting at 3. Sarah Konigsberg is the creator of Beaver Believers. She is the owner and operator of Tensegrity Productions. Questions and comments from you are welcome at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Sarah Konigsberg, what made you decide to focus on this for a film?
Actually, it's kind of funny. I didn't know anything about beavers at all, and I even grew up there in Ashland, the Beaver State, right? But I was just looking for a new take on a climate change story. In my filmmaking work, I'm really trying to inspire people to get active and to find things they can do with tractable, tangible results. So I was looking for a story where climate change could almost be providing us with an opportunity. And that led me to beavers. Quite a few of the scientists in the film I knew from other contexts, other work, working with noxious weeds, working on cattle grazing, working on wolves. And all these people were suddenly taking a turn to beavers because they really are the keystone species of an arid western, like the entirety of the arid west, the 12 states of the arid west. They can be such a fantastic game changer. And it was just a really inspiring story to share this knowledge that just by letting nature come back, by letting it do its thing, you know, we don't have to be planning these monstrous engineering projects that cost thousands of dollars that we don't have. We can just partner with nature and let it almost heal itself with just a little nudging on our end. And when there's so few positive stories with climate change, with water shortage right now, it just seemed like a really important story to get out there.
Ellie Gustafson, I can guess you've always got your eyes open for new environmental films. Did this one get on your radar pretty soon after it was created?
It sure did. As soon as Sarah sent it to me, I knew I had to find a spot for it in the Siskiyou Film Fest. And I'm just so happy that we have all come together. And at the Film Fest, Jacob Shockey will join us again. And he'll be leading a short Q&A for the audience to ask questions.
Which is just one of the features. This is actually sort of halfway through the day's program. The films run basically from 3 to 8 with a 45-minute intermission in the middle.
Yeah, so we'll have 10 inspiring environmental films for our Film Fest attendees to enjoy. Before intermission, we're going to be showing our other feature film. This is titled The Radicals, and it's a documentary film that follows snowboarders and surfers who have become driven to become social activists through the lens of some local indigenous tribes. And I'm really happy to say that before we show this film, we're going to be honoring Grandma Agnes Baker Pilgrim, and she passed away at age 95, and I'm honored to bring her daughter, Nadine Martin of Grants, past the stage to tribute and honor her late
mother.
I'm
glad to say we've had Agnes Baker Pilgrim on the program within the last 10 years, and I pronounced her name wrong. I said, it's Tao Wai Wee. She said, it's Tao Wai Wee is her Tequilma name. So, a lot of people talking about her passage and how significant it is to the region. So it's good that you're putting a remembrance in the program. The general run of films, a lot of these are fairly short, 7 minutes I see, 12 minutes on some of them. So,
correct.
So just things that address specific features for this region or more environmentally, more generally?
Yeah, so I always like to find films that are focused here regionally and local, but a lot of our films are worldwide. So we're going to be visiting some women down in the Maasai tribe, and they have a great program down there bringing women up to the mountain on backpacking trip. And so that'll be the last feature film of the evening. And mixed in there with some short films about the monument here in our backyard and just some stellar women doing awesome things out in the world.
Let's bring it back to beavers. And Jacob Shockey, what's the recommendation here? What do you think we should be doing with beavers to encourage the good aspects of what they do?
Well, so there's two things for our region that I think beavers really offer. There's the fish aspect. 22 of the federal fish recovery plans call for beaver. They call for beaver on the landscape as a higher priority than the bread and butter watershed council restoration projects that, you know, I've spent the last 7 years putting in. I can take $500,000 in lottery funding mm-hmm. and go out with Tonka Toys and try to build something. And that's 20% of what beavers will do for free. So really powerful for fish recovery. And then the other thing is, you know, in a region that's suffering from water, I grew up on Thompson Creek. We bought it from a family that had been there since the 30s, and she talked about swimming in the creek every summer.
Yeah, Thompson's a tributary to the Applegate River.
Correct, yeah. And I swam in Thompson Creek every summer in the 90s, you know, cold, deep water.
Right.
My two children go down and play with dry cobble in the summertime now. And that's the difference in snowpack. That's the difference in how we're getting precipitation. And if you think about what beavers do, they go into tributaries and they build successional dams and they slow water down. So as we're losing snowpack sooner, off of our mountains, beavers are really a big hope for recharging our aquifers.
We conserve water across the landscape. You hold it back long enough to let it soak in, recharge aquifers,
exactly.
Things like that.
Yep.
How would that help with climate change? Or is the question obvious that you, when you've got more water, you can keep things cooler?
Yeah. So 80% of species depend on wetlands at some point in their life, species of wildlife at some point in their life. And we've got this term keystone species around beaver, right? Based off that Roman arch, you pluck the middle stone off the top and the whole thing falls apart. That's very true for the aquatic systems across the northern hemisphere when it relates to beaver. So without beaver in that system, the system starts waffling. You lose the resiliency, and with much of the work around climate change, resiliency is what we need to be working to build.
Sarah Koenigsberg, visually for the film, was this a fairly easy story to tell in Beaver Believers? I mean, you have a fairly photogenic animal to work with there.
They are photogenic. They are also crepuscular, which means they mostly come out at night. So that did provide kind of a funny challenge. I'd have a very slim window at dawn and at dusk, where I could film for about 20 minutes trying to catch them out in the wild. And then I can hear them, and it's pitch blackout. So actually, I didn't realize that little challenge when I went in. But one of the things that's so fantastic about them as a species is even if you don't see the beaver themselves, you can see the impact they're having on the land. You can look around and see nibbled sticks. You can see the building of a dam over just a couple days. You can see, you know, the little rivulets going around the sides. You can see them building it up. You can see the lodge. So it's really fun that you can start to read beaver on the landscape and just see this regeneration of wetland species. You can suddenly start hearing frogs like a couple days later when there weren't any before. You can see all these new little bits of vegetation around the edges of a pond. So it's not just the beavers. It's just really realizing how robust they make our systems and that we can watch that transformation in real time. You know, so many restoration projects, we're thinking on like the multiple mm-hmm. decades scale. We don't have the patience for that. With beavers, you can see it literally overnight.
Or as Jacob says, they'll do this for free instead of having to
they
do all the watershed projects with the Tonka
exactly.
Toys. The film is called Beaver Believers. It is made by Sarah Koenigsberg from Tensegrity Productions. It is going to be at the Siskiyou Film Fest at Grants Pass High School starting at 3 o'clock. Doors open at 2 on Sunday. Allie Gustafson is the organizer for it. Jacob Shockey, program manager, wildlife biologist at the Beaver Coalition, will be speaking as well. Thank you all for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.